I am Planta on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. Linda Solomon joins me again. She is the publisher of the Vancouver Observer, and she's out now with a collection of stories that have appeared on the website, Why I Love Vancouver, Reflections on a City by a Pulitzer-nominated American Journalist. It's got a big old heart on the cover, and it's a great view onto the city, a love letter, and a taste of some of the writing you can read on the Observer's website, vancouverobserver.com. is the website, and you can order the book there. Please welcome back to the Plant Online program, Linda Solomon. Good morning, Ms. Solomon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Pretty good yourself.
Good.
What have you been up to in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I've been pretty busy, like about 400,000 of us.
Yeah.
I've been covering the Olympics nonstop.
And you've lived in big cities around the world, world-class cities. How do you think we did hosting the Olympics?
I think that we did a better-than-expected job. I think that we were really stellar.
Yeah. Well, what was your day like the last couple? I mean, you say you were out and about every day?
Yeah. Well, I was. I spent some of my day every day at the BC Media Center. with the sort of second tier of press. We were all the press that hadn't sponsored the Olympics, but there was from 9 o'clock until 6 o'clock press conferences happening all day, and they, you know, there were press conferences with all the medal winners, and, you know, the first press conference the day after Alex Bilodeau won was really exciting, and they were actually all amazing. You know, you kind of got used to it while it was going on, but already in retrospect, wow, that was incredible.
Yeah. Mike Gagan, a political pundit, was on the program yesterday, and he talked about the rise of the so-called kick-ass generation, where we saw, especially during these Olympic Games, a generation of Canadians a lot more self-confident, not as deferential, and these were Canadians saying, you know, we're going to go out there and we're going to win 14 gold medals. Is that your sense? Did you see that a lot?
You know, for me as an American, it was really incredible to meet some of these, you know, kids, you know, some of these young men and women right after they had won. And I was really just struck by the fact that they were still, yes, they went out and kicked ass, but they were also still wonderfully Canadian about how they approached their victory. You know, like, they just showed a lot of humanity and modesty.
Yeah.
And yet strength. You know, so to me it was just, you know, really, really attractive.
And has this changed the view that people from outside of Canada have of Canadians, do you think?
I'm not completely sure how to answer that yet. I think that we're going to have a little bit of perspective to really judge that accurately. One thing that concerned me was hearing from a friend who was in New York, a Canadian friend, that while she was there and watching the Olympics, she wasn't seeing anything about Vancouver. You know, that the American coverage really closed out Vancouver. You didn't see it. So although while we were here and feeling like we were the center of everything, I don't know that the world really got that. I think that the opening ceremony and the closing ceremonies may have been, you know, our major moment in world prime time.
Where were you on Sunday during the hockey game?
I was at the media center, and I would have been in a bar, except that I had my kids with me.
Yeah.
So I couldn't be in a bar. I was in a bar for the meeting, for the game before, and it was so moving, actually. You know, like, everybody just, you know, was hugging and cheering the whole bar. So that was incredible, but the media center was great, too.
Yeah. Now, who do you have been rooting for on Sunday? Because you're an American, right? Yeah.
Yep, and I was rooting for Canada, big time,
yeah.
Big time. And there was a little family tension in the family because my 13-year-old son was rooting for America. But by the time, once he was in the media center and he kind of, like, just, like, got swept away by the feeling there, and he was rooting for Canada by the end of the game.
There's a piece on your website, and I read it, I guess, last night, where you were at David Lamb Park. Was that for the closing ceremonies?
Yes.
Yeah, and how many people were there? I'm trying to, because I haven't gone to any of the Olympics things. I've tried to avoid it. But I'm just, I've been living vicariously through your website and others.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm so glad to hear that. Well, I had been there the night before, too. And I would say the closing ceremony night was how many people would have been there? I'm guessing maybe a few thousand.
Yeah.
Two or three thousand. I wondered that myself, but I don't remember reading what the capacity was there. And it was by the time the ceremonies got going, the place was totally full. So that might have been 3,000, it might have been 5,000. And it was just such an amazing mix of people. You know, like, just to one side of me were, you know, a family, just everybody. It really reflected the diversity of Vancouver. And it was so interesting hearing what people were saying.
Yeah. And I guess being in these last couple of weeks, it makes you love Vancouver more, does it?
Yeah. I mean, there was some degree of, you know, the title of my book, Why I Love Vancouver, is, you know, it's just like perfect to make a joke about, like, you know, why I love Vancouver, why I love Vancouver anyway, why I hate Vancouver, why I, you know, loved Vancouver, but now I think it's, you know, flawed. I love Vancouver more than ever, yes, but I also, you know, like in these last weeks, saw, you know, where nothing's perfect, and there were plenty of mistakes made too. And, you know, things that I really honestly thought could have and should have been done differently. You know, but it's easy to criticize, and it's hard to pull off an event like that.
Does this change us? Does this change the city at all? I mean, it obviously does in some superficial way, but I mean, sort of in an emotional way, in a way that we look at ourselves, perhaps to ourselves.
I don't see how it could not have changed us, because, you know, it's like, these things are really hard to measure, but our experiences are what make us what we are, you know, as human beings. And we went through a collective experience that, you know, that had an impact on the sort of psyche of Vancouver. And, you know, I've heard a lot of talk about, like, how do we maintain this level of, and I think what people are referring to partially was just, like, the amount of stuff there was to do all the time. You know, from the beginning, I think people felt like, oh, my God, there's so much, I can't get to it all. You know, like, fear of missing out. And it was intense. And there's a desire to, like, just have that cultural richness around us. And, you know, we have a lot of it anyway, but we were treated to a level of it that's more like what you would experience in New York or Paris.
How did you end up in Vancouver? How long ago was that?
I've been in Vancouver 3.5 years. And I moved to Vancouver after living for 5 years on Cortez Island. And before that, I had lived in New York City and in Paris. And I got to Canada after 9/11.
Cortez, that's close to Washington State, right?
No, it's not. It is.
Is that north of us?
Yes, it's north. It's off. You have to go up to Campbell River and take two ferries from Campbell River. It's like in the middle of nowhere, way up north, a small town surrounded by stormy seas.
I guess I'm confused with the ones, the San Juan Islands, or whatever you call it, down south. Yeah.
Yeah.
What made you come to? I mean, you've lived in Canada now. You said for 5 years up there. What made you move to Vancouver?
Well, I moved from Manhattan to Cortez that had a population of 900 people, and I basically never could get used to that. I'm an urban person, and so I just, when I had the chance, moved to Vancouver because it really had more of what I salt I needed to do what I do, which is, you know, communicate and write and cover interesting people and events and politics and stuff like that.
You gave birth to one of your children in a condo, in an apartment, did you?
I did. I gave birth to my second son in an apartment in Kitsilano.
Yeah, well, what's the deal there? Is that some sort of new age deal? Or
having a baby at home?
Yeah.
I don't think it's really a new age deal. Let's see. I think it's just a choice that some people make who prefer not to have a, you know, who just want to not have a hospital birth. But
yeah.
Having it in Vancouver, having him in Vancouver, we were, you know, like a couple of minutes away from hospitals. And the midwifery system here is so good. And that, you know, it's just really an easy choice to make.
You opened the book with a couple of stories involving members of your family with their experiences with the healthcare system. Your son was chased by a bat, is that right?
He was bitten by a bat.
Yeah.
He picked it up. The bat didn't chase him.
Oh, I see. Okay.
He chased the bat.
And then your brother, Joel Solomon, you talk about him. He had a kidney transplant.
Yeah, he did. He knew that he had a congenital kidney disease,
mm-hmm.
and about 2 years ago, he was ill, and he had to have a transplant. He was able to have a transplant. Without the transplant, he would have died. And his friend Siobhan Robinson from Victoria, who does the Getting Higher Choir there, gave him a kidney. And yeah, it was watching, you know, the way the doctors at St. Paul handled everything and just how well it all worked and how there was, you know, if it had been in America, there just would have been a lot of additional stress.
And that's what the first part of the book is, these long essays on personal experiences, but I think they sort of give us an idea of sort of the people you encountered and the sort of things that you encountered over the years. The second half of the book is pieces that have appeared on the website, sort of profiles. Right. Yeah. There's some interesting people there.
Who did you, like, anybody stand out for you?
You know, Andrea Reimer.
Yeah.
Her story, I mean, I'm still thinking about, she's had this past with drugs and alcohol that I didn't know about. And I think you pressed her on it, and she said, out of respect to her mother, who's still alive,
mm-hmm.
she didn't want to talk about it. And for some reason, it stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and it says something about her, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah, it does. I mean, her whole story says a lot about her. I mean, just her deep insight into, you know, what life is like for people on the streets. For, you know, that is really, really makes her an outstanding public servant, I believe. And I think why I, you know, wanted to publish these profiles and interviews with people was that I was able to go pretty in depth with people in an unusual way, I think. And in all of those interviews people reveal a lot about themselves that I don't think most people know.
And are these people friends of yours?
No.
Not at all. We hear on the, like, we read on the internet, I should say, like, mm-hmm. your brother's friends with the mayor, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Gregor, I've known Gregor for years because of my brother's friendship with him. So, but, you know, it's not like I hang out with the mayor. You know, it's just an acquaintance. He's more than an acquaintance. I've known him for years. But Gregor is not interviewed in the book, but the other people who are interviewed were really part of when I have, you know, as you mentioned, I haven't been here that long. And interviewing I started off really by interviewing the city council candidates during the last election. And I interviewed people on both sides of the political fence. I interviewed a lot of the NPA people, too. I didn't put them in the book because they didn't get elected, and I didn't really think it would be as interesting to people. But it was a way for me to understand the political situation here and what the landscape was, and just to get to know the city better. So it's sort of like taking readers along with my own journey in getting to know Vancouver.
Back to that chatter on the internet about your brother's relationship with the mayor. Are they just friends, or is he sort of like, I remember reading something that he was sort of his brain trust or something like that, or that he was...
You know, Joe, I really can't say because I'm not there with them. I don't really know, you know, what, like, all the layers of their relationship is, but I'd say they're really just good friends.
Yeah.
And like good friends, they spend, most good friends, they, you know, enjoy talking to each other about a wide range of topics. But I think Gregor's very much got his own mind about things.
On this journey of understanding the political situation in this part of the world, did it strike you as unique to the other places that you've been? I mean, you were probably in New York when Giuliani was mayor and the sort.
Yeah.
Did you find anything unique about our politics here?
Yes. I think what really struck me about... But, you know, interviewing the NPA candidates and the Vision Vancouver candidates and getting to know a couple of the COPE candidates more afterwards and even people from the Work Less Party, I was struck by the fact that there was really nobody I could say reminded me of the Republicans in the United States. So that's really to say that it seems... You know, that generally things are just more there's just less of a right wing thing going on here.
Yeah. Did you vote in Vancouver?
I could only vote in the municipal race. I could only vote in the municipal race, and I did vote. Yes.
Yeah. The success of the Vancouver Observer, has that surprised you?
Let's see.
Because you get a sense of how successful a website is from the comments that are left behind and some of the discussion that's sort of cultivated from the articles that appear there. And it seems to me a lot of people are reading it.
Yeah. Joe, I really can't say, you know, yes and no. It's a hard question to answer. I'm not surprised in that when I arrived here, it was very obvious to me that there was a dearth of really great writing about, or not only really great writing, but coverage of the really unique character of the city. And coming from New York, you know, and being able to read The New Yorker and New York Magazine and, you know, like 10 other really great publications that are always writing about, you know, getting you right into the cracks of the city, you know, into people's homes, into interesting things that are going on, quirky things, you know, the things that give a city its character. I really didn't see that when I got here. You know, a little bit here, a little bit there, but to me it was really missing. So I'm not surprised that, you know, I believe that we have created that, me and the some 150 other people who have contributed to the Vancouver Observer have created that. And so it doesn't surprise me that people would find that to be something they would want to engage with.
The best way for people to get this book, I guess, is through the website, right?
Yes.
That's how I got it.
Yes.
Are there bookstores, though, in the city that are carrying it?
Yes. Blackberry Books is carrying it on Granville Island. And the book came out right before the Olympics. So we weren't able to place it in a lot of places because they were just too jammed up with Olympic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be, I think it's going to be at Book Warehouse and in Chapters by the summer. But for now, I would really like people, invite people to order it from the website because it is a great book and it's also a way of us raising money for the website. And, you know, the more that we can sell directly online, the more money that goes to, you know, creating, help to create the great infrastructure that we have at the Vancouver Observer and to keep going.
And congratulations on it, Linda. It is a wonderful view onto the city at this time. And just continue good luck with the Observer.
Thank you so much, Joe. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. The book is called Why I Love Vancouver, Reflections on a City by a Pulitzer-nominated American Journalist. VancouverObserver.com is a website, and I suggest people go there and buy the book there. The publisher of The Observer, Linda Solomon, on the line in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.